homecoming. He said, oh, my, that mean you're not coming? I said, no, well, I wouldn't do that. Everybody that talked to me about having, you know, within a few days, they were pretty good. I'm not going to hint you, it's been rough the last couple of days. It's been so painful. But I know where I'm starting from.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And I know he lives in me.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, all the while. And And from there down, I didn't know what was going on. But I woke up during it, and I could hear him hammering that new joint down in there. Of course, I was so dazed, I didn't realize, hey, he's beating on me. Something wrong in the operating room, but I could hear that hammer every time. I guarantee he was making legs on that thing about 15 times. Pretty hard, too. I could tell it the next time. I couldn't touch the top side of that leg. It was tight. But you know what? It's fun. I can laugh about it now. I, of course, if I realized what was going on, I'd say, hey! Come on! Look loose there, man. Come on. But you know what? I was worried about that little oxygen thing in my nose. It was tickling the hound out of my nose, and I had both my arms strapped down. It looked like I had a blade on the cross.
Uh-oh.
And I couldn't reach over and grab that thing. And there was a guy standing over my head looking at me. I told him, I said, man, that thing drives me nuts. You got this stuff. So he took it off, he wiped my nose, and he put back on. It wouldn't be a minute later, I'd be wiggling my nose again. That's the only thing I was caring about. I'm not driving that new joint in there. But, you know, God's good.
All the time.
All the time.
God's good.
And I'm thankful for being here with y'all. Appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all allowing us to come back every year.
Amen.
Don't know why. We're going to continue this as long as we can.
Amen.
Amen. You know, music minister over here, other side of Greensboro, anytime, you know, call, we'll be here.
Amen.
I don't care what it is.
Yes, sir.
Kenny is just having a training, that's all it is.
Amen.
Hey, when you get 52 years old, get set in your ways.
That's right.
And he can't tell me much. He might even tell back a little bit.
Amen.
I come first. But I'm not going to prolong this. We're going to thank God for here. And I look forward to hearing some good preaching, some more good singing, and especially food down.
Yes, sir.
All these good here, food. I'll be honest with you. Since we met y'all how many years ago? It's been quite a few. I've seen your pastor grow. And what a difference in this preaching is from then it is to now. He's really come alive. And I'll say that like
Amen.
You really have grown in God. Amen. No doubt. Y'all hang with him. He's the best. He is the best. We see a lot of pastors out there, and Bruce is number one in my book.
Amen.
So y'all keep him happy. Let him play, okay?
Just unsuspecting.
Nowhere. Thank y'all so much, we enjoyed that. Now let's all stand for our call to worship, page 297, Majesty. Page 297.
This time we'd call everybody down to come and pray, but since we got some things down front, we're going to just take a second and just pray for our service right now today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and if you feel led to pray, then you feel free to do that. I'm going to start out. Father God, what a great day it is today. I thank you, Lord, for letting us get up to see this day, and Lord, I thank you for each and every person that's here. God, I pray that we'll be pleasing in your sight with all that we're going to do, all the singing. Lord, the sermon today and all the fellowship time we're going to have, Lord, let it be all about you and nothing about else, us, Father. And we just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen.
Lord, be with this church, God, and everything that they've endured with God.
Yes.
And those that couldn't be here this morning, Lord, call some ways, God, just talk to them and let them know it's worth thinking about, God.
Yes.
Lord, bless Bruce. I see the things and preaches, God. Lord, give him the words, Lord. Always be in his heart, God.
Yes, Lord.
Showing love and kindness, but he'll in turn show that to the people, God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I love every person in this house.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for what you've done here.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Now, Lord, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Turn it back over to Becky.
Okay, this morning for our offertory hymn, let's turn to page 499. Page 499, we'll sing all three verses, Victory in Jesus. Let's stand as we sing.
I heard. thank you for the opportunity to come back into your house.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for each and every one that's come this way to hear your word and your message. Whether it be by song or by the sermon that you give, Brother Bruce.
Yes.
Now, Father, it's time for us to give back to you that we can use it to do the things you would have us to do and to further your ministry in this world. Father, we thank you for everything you do for us. We just thank you for everything that you do for us so that we can move forward in you and be the guide and the servants you'd have us to be. We ask all these things this morning, Lord, in your holy, precious name. Amen.
Amen.
We have been blessed the past couple of years, I think it was. I'm not sure if it was consistent, but we've had Miss Betty Johnson to come sing. She's a former member here, and we have asked her to come back today. So, Miss Betty, come on up, and I know we're going to enjoy your message.
You know, I always, our choir director at the Second Baptist Church always helps me up the steps. And I tell him, I say, that's one advantage of growing old. You have good looking men helping you up and down the steps. The song I'm going to sing for you this morning is The Midnight Cry.
Amen.
Nobody knows when the Lord's coming back. Not even Jesus himself. But one of these days, people, he's coming back. The Midnight Cry. I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Come on. Yes.
And it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet. Call. And at the midnight cry, when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children, the dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air, and then those that remain at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again. I look around me, I see prophecies fulfilling. And signs of the time, well, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father as he says, "Son, go get your children." And at the midnight cry, the bride of Christ will rise. When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children, the dead in Christ shall rise. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, and then those that remain will be quickly changed. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus comes
and I got to follow that. Amen. Amen. Woo, hallelujah.
Amen. Miss Betty, thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Always look forward to that. Brother Thomas and Change 4, always great. Appreciate your faithfulness to come and be with us. I know you're in pain, but that says a lot, and I appreciate that, brother.
God.
I do. Amen. Amen. Guys, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11.
Praise the Lord.
It's good to look out and see everybody here today. And I want to welcome you again to Homecoming 2017. You know, there's a lot to be said about homecomings, but there's going to be a great homecoming one day that we're all going to participate in. Amen. And Sister Betty just sang about that. And that truly is going to be a great day. And with all the things that are happening around us, I'm kind of looking at some of these things here and kind of wondering myself if it isn't going to be sped up here a little bit. But guys, we're going to talk today, and some of you weren't able to be here for the first two parts of this, but I'm finishing a series today entitled A Life Driven by Faith. Guys, I want to show you something right here. One of our members here, Sandra, she makes these up, and she's got some of these if you want one later on. I got a little vial right here, and I got some really, really tiny little seeds in here. These are mustard seeds. You know, Jesus told his disciples one time when they weren't able to cast some demons out of somebody, they said, why couldn't we do that? And he talked to them and he said, you know what? If you have faith the size of one of these grains of mustard, you can move mountains.
Amen.
You know why I think Jesus chose to talk about mustard seed? They are very small. And it doesn't take but just a little faith to please God. It doesn't take but a little bit of it. So you take one of these and you remember every time you pull this out of your pocket, all I need is a little bit of faith and I'm going to please God.
Amen.
I'm going to please Him. So, you know, these little seeds grow into something really, really big. That plant can get huge. Those mustard plants can get huge. When you take faith and you put it in your life and you live your life by faith, God can grow you into something great. Amen?
Amen.
I believe that. I'm going to sit this out here where we can see that the rest of this time we've got here together. Now, guys, just to take a minute and go back over what we've discussed so far about faith, we said that faith is believing when we don't see it. We talked about that the first week. Obeying when we don't understand it. Giving when we don't have it. And guys, we're going to finish up this morning by talking about two points that I believe God wants me to talk about today. You know what? I think about the Israelites and their bondage in Egypt. Don't you know that they prayed for God to deliver them? But it was about 400 years later before He finally did. They never saw it. Some of them never saw it, but they kept praying for it. Guys, we keep praying even though we don't see everything right away. And we're going to talk about that today because I think some of us, we give up too soon, Brother Thomas. We give up. We give up. Our loved one's sick. Don't you believe we serve a God that can heal them?
Amen. Amen.
Don't you believe we serve a God that can turn this country around if we believe and have faith?
Amen.
Amen. I'm not concerned about these things because I'm going to put my trust and my hope in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to put my trust and hope in Him. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to ask those of you that can, if you will, stand to your feet in the honor of reading God's Word. If you can't, we understand that. But we're going to read a few verses here. And we are going to begin in verse number 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Father God, I just ask your blessings on the reading of your word now, Lord. Let it be nothing about me, but let it be about you in these next few minutes, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you're wanting to jot them down, we do have in the bulletins there. If you didn't get a bulletin, you want one. We have the notes to this sermon in there. If you would like one, just raise your hand. We'll be sure we get you one. If you have them and you want to take down these notes, we're going to begin our message today with point number 5. Faith is thanking God before we receive it. Faith is thanking God before we receive it. How many of you pray for something? You pray to God for something, but you don't ever thank Him before you get it. You wait until you get it to thank Him. Now, guys, that's not faith. Faith is thanking Him before you get it.
Amen.
If you're praying for that healing, when I pray for somebody to be healed, I'm saying, God, I'm going to thank you for what you're fixing to do.
Amen.
And I'm going to believe you're going to do it.
Yes.
I'm not going to wait until that loved one's healed and then thank him. That's just gratitude. That doesn't show faith. So you see, faith is thanking God before we receive it. Verse 30 of Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. Think about this, guys. Jericho was the most fortified city in Canaan. That thing was built. This was not going to be an easy task to destroy this city and to cause these walls to come tumbling in. God said for them to march around it 7 days in silence. Now that goes along with a lot of Baptist theology. Just come in here and be silent the whole service, okay? Amen. Feel free to say something if you want to, amen. Because I'm going to say it. Amen. You know, they marched around in silence. And on the seventh day, God said, now I want you to go 7 more times around. And on the 7th time, I want you to what? Shout. It's okay to shout every now and then, amen. I want you to shout. Now, talking about believing without seeing and obeying when it made no sense. Now, that didn't make any sense, did it? God, you want us to march around here for 7 days and not say a word? They're going to think we're crazy. Well, guess what? God had a plan.
Amen.
God was testing their faith. And guess what they did? They marched around that city for 7 days. And on the 7th day, after they went around it 7 times, they started shouting. And guess what happened? Whoo! The walls of Jericho fell. God didn't tell them what was going to happen ahead of time. He just told them what to do. They didn't question God and say, God, why are we doing this? This doesn't make sense. How many people have asked someone who's asked you to do something in your life, why are we doing that? That doesn't make sense. I'm a school teacher. Trust me, I hear that a lot. Amen. Amen. I hear that. Well, why we got to do that, coach? That doesn't make any sense. Have faith. It's going to make sense eventually. Amen. I promise it will make sense eventually. But you see, that was faith. They got an instruction from God, and they trusted God that, hey, you're God and we're not. See, we need to understand that. We need to believe that a little bit more. We try to assume the role of God in our lives sometimes and try to handle everything ourselves. God never intended for you to go on your journey through your life alone.
Right.
He never intended it. Amen. And for us to do that, we're going directly against what God's telling us. Have faith in me. I'm going to take care of you. I'm not going to let you fall. I know every time a sparrow hits the ground, don't you think I know what's going on in your life?
Right.
You're going to have faith in me. So they shouted. I just wonder what they shouted when they was walking around those walls there. What do you think they were shouting? I don't believe they were going, hey, this is crazy. This makes no sense. I don't believe they were shouting. I don't believe they were praising God. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you glad to be here today? Say amen.
Amen.
See, that didn't hurt, did it? Amen. I tell you one thing. It's great to be in God's house, but it's even greater to have faith in the God we serve. Amen.
Amen.
That's the greatest thing that we can have is faith in the God that we serve.
Amen.
I believe they were praising God, thanking him for the victory he had promised before they ever saw it. You can't go into a war and fight a war without thanking God for the victory ahead of time. That's what these people had done. I believe with all my heart that's what they were shouting about. I believe they were praising God. Faith is not just believing God can. Because God can do anything he wants to do, whether we believe it or not. God's going to do what he wants to do, when he needs to do it, and how he needs to do it. We just need to have the faith that he's going to do that. Have faith. Have faith. How big a faith? The size of this little grain of mustard seed right here.
Amen.
That's all the faith you need. Well, preacher, that's not very much faith. Yeah, get the picture. That's why I use this as a reference. It doesn't take a lot of faith to do what I want you to do. You just trust me, and I promise you, your life is not going to be necessarily a bed of roses, but it's going to be moving in the direction I want it to go. If you have the faith it takes. I want to ask you that today, guys. Are we really men and women of faith when it comes down to it? Okay? Are we really men and women of faith? Because if we are, then we shouldn't be concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow. We shouldn't be concerned about where our next meal is going to come from, where we're going to live, what we're going to ride around in, because God's already promised to take care of those needs. Amen.
Amen.
By faith, we know that. We know that already. So you see, even when we don't understand it, we're going to go ahead and do what God's called us to do. God's ability is dependent on our thinking. What does the Bible say? Lean not on your own understanding. We try to understand too many things and reason too many things out and rationalize them in our mind. Well, if I do this, let me see if I can't help God a little bit. God doesn't need help. Amen. Quit trying to help him and let go and let him do what he needs to do. See, we're always thinking about helping God. Well, God, I'll just, you know, we pray for something and then we want to run out and try to help him along the way, right? Well, God, I need a blessing. I need a financial blessing here. I got some big bills coming up. But I tell you what, just as a backup plan, I'm going to run and talk about a loan with my banker real quick in a couple more days. Amen. Guys, that's not having faith. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about trusting a God that knows your every move before you make them. We're talking about trusting a God that knew you before you ever even conceived, before your parents were even born. Now that's freaky, isn't it? To know that God already knew who you were before your parents were even on the scene. He knows everything about you. We don't need to understand everything. We just need to trust and obey. I love that old song, trust and obey. That's what it's all about. That's what it boils down to. Trusting and obeying. Guys, faith is therefore believing that God is going to do something even though we don't see it or understand it. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Hey, I don't understand a lot of things God's done in my life, but I'm not going to turn away from him.
Amen.
I'm not going to run from him. I'm not going to get mad at him. And by the way, it's okay to get angry with God. He's big enough. He can take it.
Yeah.
He can take it. Okay? You know, you get angry with him, that's okay. But let me tell you one thing. When all is said and done, you realize that he's the author and creator of this world.
Amen.
He holds us in the palm of his hand. He's going to always do what's best for us, even if we don't think it's best for us at that point in time. See, we have a hard time with that, don't we?
Yeah.
We have a hard time with thinking that God's doing something good for us. How can we serve a loving God when he allows these young people to get killed and people to tragically die? And guys, I can't explain that. I don't understand that. But what I do know is this. I'm going to accept it by faith as part of God's plan.
Amen.
And I'm going to believe Romans 8:28 that says, for all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, the called according to his purpose.
Amen.
See, that means that no matter what terrible thing happens, God's going to work something good out of it. I can testify to that. It's happened in my life. And it'll happen in yours too, trust me. You know, when we pray for something, Jesus gives us a simple formula as to how we're to pray. In the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 24, it says this, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Wow, that's a pretty simple formula, isn't it? You know why those prayers don't get answered any more than they do? Because you really don't believe you're going to get that. You're really not putting your complete faith and trust in God. You're leaning on your own understanding. You're not leaning on his. And maybe, just maybe, that was not in the best interest for you and God's not going to answer it anyway. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When you pray, go ahead and believe that you're going to receive it. And thank God for it. God, I'm going to thank you ahead of time for this great thing you're going to do in my life. Thank him for it ahead of time. And then trust him with it. Don't keep dwelling on it. Don't keep going over it again and again and again. You know, if we simply wait until we receive what we're praying for before we give thanks, that's just gratitude. That's not faith. That's simply gratitude. That's what that is. Faith believes in advance and thanks God in advance. If you believe that, say amen. You thank him in advance. You don't wait until he gives it to you. Yeah, you thank him again then too. But by that time, that's just gratitude. You see what I'm saying? That's gratitude. That's not faith. You thank him before you ever get it. You thank him before you get it. Faith believes in advance and thanks God in advance. See, that's the kind of faith that caused the walls of Jericho to come down. That's what caused them to come down. Faith in something that made no sense. Why do you think God told them to do that? Exactly, because it didn't make any sense, right? He wanted to see if those people were really going to trust him to destroy the most fortified city in that land by doing something crazy. Like walking around in silence. They didn't even have a hammer, a pick, a sledgehammer, nothing. They weren't going to be able to break anything down just walking around. But then when they started shouting, God knew then, okay, you've done exactly what I asked you to do. I'm fixing to bring this city under control now. And I believe God's just waiting for us to shout out to Him, to cry out to Him, to heal this land that we're in, and to have faith that He's going to do it, and I believe He will. Now, things are going to happen in this world we live in. That's certain. But we got to have faith that God's going to move us in the direction He wants us to go. We got to always believe that. Point number six, last but not least in this series, I want to talk to you about how to live a life driven by faith is this. Faith is believing without receiving it. Think about that one for a minute. Faith is believing without receiving it. How many of those Israelites prayed for God to deliver them out of Egypt that never saw that deliverance? They died before they actually got delivered. That didn't stop them from praying. Think about that now. How many of you have prayed for your lost loved one, your child, your husband, your wife, your parents, your aunts and uncles? Prayed for them to come to know the Lord. You prayed your whole entire life. You died before you ever saw them come to the Lord. But guess what? Through your prayers and through the concerted efforts of others, they came to know the Lord. Guess what? You're going to be reunited with them one day. And they're going to come up to you and say, it's because of you that I'm here. Amen. Isn't that going to be a glorious time? It's because of you I'm here. So see, faith is believing without receiving it. You got to still believe even though you might not ever get it. We got to understand that. Now that seems a bit strange from the world's perspective. Because in verse 39 of our text it says, and these all having attained a good report through faith received not the promise. What was that promise? Jesus. They didn't receive that promise of Jesus coming as Lord and Savior. But guess what? They knew He was coming. They knew He was going to be there one day. And now that He's already come and gone and seated at the right hand of the Father, we have an opportunity to be there with Him one day if we accept Him as our Savior. Amen. We got to do that before it's too late. We had a tragic death yesterday, or might have been Friday night, I'm not real sure. One of the kids I used to teach a few years back was in a car wreck and killed. I don't know if this young lady was saved, but I do know one thing. She's got no more opportunity but what she had prior to that accident. So we got to be thinking about that. We can't just continue to go on through our lives thinking that everything's going to be okay and we're going to have more time, and time is on our side. Time is not on our side. Because God is going to deliver us where He wants us to be at the appropriated time. And we've got to be ready for that. So you see, these people never actually got the promise. You know, these men and women, I call this chapter, chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, the Hall of Faith. These men and women in here were Hall of Faithers, I call them. Some of them never saw what it was God was wanting to show them. Abraham, he never was in the promised land, but he saw it from afar. He saw it was coming to be. And he trusted God. He just packed up and moved out and left. How many of us would trust God with that? You see, they believed even though they never received the promise. Living by faith doesn't exempt us from problems, though, guys. I'm going to tell you something. If you think being a believer means you won't have any more problems in your life, then you are sadly wrong. You're going to have them. The book of James chapter 1 says, consider it joy when you face trials of all kinds. Because that's going to build perseverance in your life and endurance. And that's what it's going to take for God to give you that reward one day in heaven. Guys, it's going to happen. We're going to have trials. We're going to have troubles. We're going to have... all of these things are going to come along in our life. And how we handle them is how we're giving back to God.
That's right.
What are you doing? Are you getting angry at God? You know, a lot of people who profess to be atheists now, at one point in time, profess to be Christians and in the Word and loving God. But you see, the one thing is this. They could not handle the storms of life. You know, the Anchor Holds, I love that song because it reminds me so much of, if you are anchored in Jesus, it doesn't matter what happens in your life, you are not going to falter. You're not going to get off the path. You're going to continue to hold fast to what God's called you to. Amen.
Amen.
You're going to continue to be there. Even if it means you lose a loved one that's close to you. Even if it means you lose this job or this relationship didn't work out. You're still moving in the right direction that God wants you to go in. You just got to trust Him and you got to have faith. You know, Living by faith doesn't exempt us from those problems in life. Verse 40 says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. In other words, they believed even though they didn't receive the promise because God had not yet sent Jesus. He had not yet sent Jesus. So they never saw that promise come to pass. But they knew they served an awesome God. There was a God who was honest and who meant what he said, and that one day he was coming. So they kind of saw it from afar. But we see it now in reality. If we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, let me say something here. This might be off the subject a little bit. I get that way every now and then. I'm going to come back around in a minute, but I'm going to tell you something. If you are of the mindset, or you've been around somebody that's of the mindset that tells you this, well, we serve a nice, wonderful God. We serve a God who, he's not going to be mean and send you to hell. Well, let me tell you something, you're sadly mistaken. We serve a God who's going to be a judgmental God one day. Yes, we serve a loving God, but I'm going to tell you one thing. If you've been around a theology that says your good works can help you get to heaven and the good things you do, let me tell you something. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that is through the blood of Jesus. Yeah. Amen. That's the only way you're going to get there, through what he did for you on the cross, acknowledging that you're a sinner, confessing your sins, and accepting him into your heart. That's the only way. You know, we got a lot of people running around trying to convince you otherwise. We got the Mormons. We got the Jehovah's Witnesses. We've got a lot of people who have a lot of zeal for their faith. If only we had that kind of zeal for our faith, where would we be? I mean, they're coming out. They're going out into the highways and byways, even though they're lost. They're not heading to heaven. They think that they're doing the right thing, and they're going to be possessed with that, and they're going to be obsessed with that, and they're going to continue to do what their religion has called them to do. If only we would do just a little bit of what God's called us to do, where would we be? Where would we be? You know, all of us who believe now can have that promise of eternal life. Many men and women of old prayed for great revivals to happen in this nation. Some of them never lived to see them. But there's been a lot of great revival movements that have happened in this nation over the years. They didn't see it, but guess what? They knew God was going to bring it. They kept praying for it. They never saw it, yet they're a part of the history of that revival. Man, there's been some revivals I've read about over the years. Things lasted months. Man, people turned their nose up. This is a 3-day revival, amen? Woo, 3 days. I don't know if we can make it that long. Imagine coming to a revival for months. Just keep coming night after night after night. You see, they had that vision. They had that faith. They prayed for that, and God brought that. That's an awesome thing to think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. Guys, in closing today, I just want to say a couple of things. I'm not going to keep you long because I know some of y'all's minds done wandered down to the chicken table already. Some of y'all's minds in the dessert rack already. Amen. You've done had enough spiritual food for right now. You're ready for some physical food now. Amen. But I want to close by saying this. God wants us to build our faith. God wants us to build our faith. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
God wants you to build your faith. He wants me to build my faith. Is my faith where it needs to be? No. I'm not immune to this. I told y'all 8 years ago you hired a sinner for your preacher. Amen. One that's been saved by grace. Let me add that to it. Amen. So, guys, I'm not perfect by any means. But I am covered by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
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 So, if I mess up, God's already told me, hey, I got you covered.
Amen.
Don't you keep doing it, though.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. See, some people think it's okay. All right, I'm covered by grace. Let me go out and do whatever I want to do.
Amen.
That's not the way it works, brother, sister.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Guys, you see, one of the problems in this world today is the world would tell you that seeing is believing. You know what God says? God says faith is believing without seeing.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. I believe there are two ways that God builds our faith. The first one is through his word, and the second is through trials. He builds your faith through his word. You know why we don't have a lot of faith in this world? I'm going to tell you why. It's because of this little book right here. We don't pick it up and we don't get in it and we don't try to apply it to our lives. Some people can't even tell you half of what's in here, but yet they claim to be born again believers and have all the answers. Amen. But I'm telling you what, you get in this book and God's going to speak to you. God's going to speak to you. Romans 10:17 tells us that by faith, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In other words, God often speaks his word directly into our life through his word, through what we're reading. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In other words, God will test our faith by trials. You may say, well, preacher, I've not been through very many trials in my life. Well, guess what? You're going to. If you live long enough, you're going to go through them. You're going to lose loved ones that are close to you. God's going to call them on. You're going to lose friendships that you thought were rock solid that God didn't want you in anyway. Amen. And you might lose a job that God didn't want you in anyway because it's taking you away from serving Him. Amen. You pray and trust God to bring you what you need. And I guarantee you one thing, He's going to do it. Young people who are waiting for the right person in your life, you pray for God to bring you somebody godly and He'll do it. Amen. He'll do it. Christian brothers and sisters, you want to be able to serve God and come to church and do the things that you love doing, then pray for God to send you a job that will allow you the time to do that. Amen? Amen. And He will. You want to have good relationships and godly relationships with your friends, then pray for God to put you in the presence of godly people, and He will. But it's up to you to do it. God's going to set the table for you, but you're going to have to do it. You know, we've all faced trials in our lives, and we've responded to them in either one of two ways. We've come closer to God, or we've run away from God. That's the only two ways you can respond when a trial comes in your life. You either come closer to God, or you move further away from Him. It's my prayer that you'll always let God speak to you through His Word. And that you'll always grow in your faith when you face those trials in your life. Because guys, they're coming. They're coming. And let me tell you something. Some of them are great. Some of them are not real big trials. But they're all trials and they're all there for one purpose. To test your faith. Faith in a God who is way bigger than we are. Faith in a God who already has your life mapped out. Now I'm going to tell you something. That young girl that I'm talking about that got killed in this wreck, I'd say she's probably 20-ish, maybe somewhere along in there. Those were the days and years God had ordained for her to have. Yeah. Nothing that would have happened that night was going to change that. That's something else we got to learn too. That, you know, a lot of people beat themselves up because someone died and you feel like you had control of it. And you feel like if you'd have done this different or that different, the outcome would have been different. No, it wouldn't. Because God had ordained that to happen at that moment in time. I'm going to tell you, I've come to know that the older I get. And it's by faith that we trust that we're going to do what God's called us to do and live our life according to what He wants us to live it for as long as He chooses to give us. I don't know how long I've got on this earth, but I know one thing. I'm going to try to do the most I can for the kingdom while I'm here. Amen. Amen. And if you will do the same thing, you will live a fulfilled life when you do take your last breath. Amen. That's what I want everybody to be able to say. I don't want you to be able to look back when you're on death's door and say, oh man, what might have been if I'd have just done this or I'd have just done that. God gave you the ability to do this or that. But you chose not to because you didn't have the faith it took. God is a God of miracles. Our God can do awesome things with ordinary people. You sang about ordinary people. Let me tell you something. I read a book one time called 12 Ordinary Men. It's about the disciples of Jesus. These guys weren't anything special. They were just like you and I, just common folk with an uncommon mission. You see, God called them out, fishermen, tax collectors, all kind of people that the world would say, Jesus, why are you putting together this group? These are a bunch of thugs you're putting together here. In the world's eyes, that's what a lot of them were. Amen. But see, Jesus saw the whole picture, and that's what we don't see. We don't see the whole picture. Amen. That's why we get all concerned and all worried about things. We're not going to have 1 second of our life by worrying about anything.
That's right.
Cast your cares on Him, Amen. And He will provide for you. You know, it's my prayer that you'll let God speak to you through His Word and you'll grow in your faith when you face those trials. And I want you to remember this. Here's what faith is. Could y'all come in a minute? Can y'all do God's in Control?
Sure.
All right. I want to do that for our invitation. I love that song because, hey, that's what faith's all about. God being in control. And we believing in a God we can't see. You know, some people say, well, how you know God's for real? You know what I like to say? How you know he isn't?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You tell me he isn't. Well, you know what? I know he's real. Amen. You know why? Because I feel him in my heart.
Amen.
And if you've got him in your heart, you're going to feel him too. But if you don't feel him in your heart, then there's a good chance he's not there. But you can get him there in a very simple statement of faith and profession of faith that you believe in him. But see, that takes faith because that is believing in something you can't see. And believing in something you can't physically put your hands on. But I tell you what, I put my hands on his creations all the time. Plants, trees. I mean, if you can honestly look around and tell me that this all happened by chance, then that's ridiculous. That's more ridiculous than marching around the walls of Jericho for 7 days in total silence. Amen. We serve a God who's given us this beautiful place. And guess what? One day we're going to have a place even more beautiful than this.
Amen.
And that's what I'm working towards. I'm going to have the faith that I'm going to get there.
Amen.
You know why? Because I put my trust in Jesus. I hadn't put it in men.
Amen.
I'm not going to trust what they're trying to tell me. And that's not saying I'm going to be disobedient to it. I know what some of y'all are thinking. The preacher said we should just rebel. No, I didn't say that. I did not say that because I'm not getting you out of jail. You get thrown in jail. Amen. What I said was don't put your faith in man.
Amen,
because they're going to tell you something that probably ain't going to be a whole lot in line with what God wants for your life. But I can tell you one thing. If the Holy Spirit's leading you, then do it.
Yes.
Don't back up.
Amen.
Be men and women of faith.
Amen.
Because this is what faith is. Believing when we don't see it. Obeying when we don't understand it. Giving when we don't have it to give.
Amen.
Persisting when we don't feel like it. Brother Thomas is a great example of that. He didn't feel like coming over here today, but he persisted.
Amen.
That's what faith is about.
Mm-hmm.
And then this right here. Thanking God before we receive it and believing without receiving it.
Amen.
Those are the six keys, I believe, to living a life driven by faith. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for everything you've done here today. God, we've had a great time already, great singing. Lord, I pray that your word was brought in a way that was pleasing to you. And now, Father, as we open up this invitation, I pray, God, if there's anyone needs to come down here and pray at this altar today, they'll come. God, you are a God of healing. You're an awesome God. And Lord, you're a loving God. And nobody in this room has done something so bad that you won't forgive them, Lord. You love us. You care about us. You're here for us. And I just pray, God, if anyone's heart has been touched and they need to come up here and pray, Lord, that they'll come. No matter where they are in this building, they'll come as we sing this hymn of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you come? The altar's open. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Guys up top, if y'all need to come down, come on down. Yes, Lord.
Feel your strength say you can't do it alone. So you fall for the Lord and your tears begin to flow. He whispers, my child, I'm in control.
If you believe God's in control, just raise your hand right now. You believe he's in control? He knows your name. He knows what you need before you ask him. This is a song about faith right here. God's in control. God's in control. Let him have control. Yes, Lord.
We can be set free. His blood will save you, not just by
that's
being
right.
good.
Amen.
Give your heart to Jesus, more than all you should.
Yes.
God's in control.
You Let him control every area of your life. Yes, amen. Yes, he is.
He knows my name.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just the same.
Yes, he is.
And he'll never change. God's in
control. Yes, he is.
He knows my name. And he's just the same. And he'll never change. When doubt and fear,
I'm going to ask everybody to be seated for just a minute. Thank you so much for singing that song. That song is a song of faith right there. Put faith in God. Well, guys, I hope the praise has been blessed so far. If you've been blessed, say amen.
Amen.
Let's give Chase for a great hand of applause. And also, Ms. Debbie for the wonderful job she did. And not say, oh, I'm only in years. I don't think I'm going to sing anymore. Man, you sing like you're 30 years old. September 10th at 2 at the recreation field. And on the 16th of September, Lynn Clark is retiring officially from Penfield Christian Home. RSVP is in the bulletin on the insert there to Angie by August 30th. If you're planning on attending that, if you want to attend that, so please be sure and do that. Our ladies are planning a Beth Moore retreat in Boone, North Carolina in March. So we're just putting that out there to be thinking about that. So don't forget about that. And I was handed something by Miss Beard. I want to thank her for putting these flowers in the sanctuary today. They're beautiful. They're given in memory of Dr. Bobby Dameron, her husband, by Miss Beard. So we appreciate her doing that. And also, some of you may have noticed they've erected a granite monument on Temperance Bell Road to document the community center.
Cemetery Schoolhouse. And she's saying anyone wish to share information for any booklets or pamphlets like graves you might know about there, leave that contact info at Durham Town Plantation with Michael Cummins or with Joel at Greensboro Forest. So try to coordinate all that. Just a point of interest there, church was held at the schoolhouse on Sunday afternoons around the 1920s. People then attended Bethesda and Temperance Bell sometimes the same day. So kind of a little bit of history there that we just wanted to mention. So if you've noticed that monument on Temperance Bell, that's what that's there for. Of course, tonight we will not have an evening service because we're going to be fellowshipping here for a while. But we will be back every Wednesday night at prayer meeting. If you have a specific prayer request, we've got some containers in the back. Fill out that request. There's some little slips of paper in the front of the pews there. Just drop it in there. We pray for every person by name, by situation. So if you got something, a need, special need you want to pray for, be sure to put it in those containers back there. Okay? So, everybody ready for what the preacher's doing now? Yeah. Oh, birthday. Oh, the 20th. We got Ray Worthen, Kelly Walker on the 23rd, Brother Glenn Taylor on the 24th, Ann Smith on the 25th, and Sam Thornton on the 26th. So we've got a lot of birthdays coming up this week. So we want to wish them all a happy birthday and hope they have many more. Any other announcements we need to make? Yes, Alicia.
We're continuing the Youth Yankee Candle Fundraiser. All of the youth have a packet, and I have several, but there's also one back here for anybody that wants to look at it. You know, it's going to take a few minutes to get to the line. But it will continue through September 3rd. So if anybody wants to look for it,
okay, here's what I'm going to do. I made this mistake a few years in a row. I'm going to do it different this year. Okay? I'm going to ask our senior adults. Now, I know what some of y'all think. Oh, I'm in AARP. That don't necessarily mean you're a senior adult. I started getting things when I was 50 years old. I don't consider myself a senior adult yet. Okay? So, I'm going to ask our senior adults, if y'all will, to just step up and let's let them out. And Brother Thomas, y'all go ahead and make your way down there. For a minute, let's let them get up. Guys, you deserve